I really appreciate the opportunity, and I want to thank you, Sarah, for organizing it. Obviously, Chachamim says, "Potchem b'chvod Achzania." So thank you, Mrs. Neustadt, for opening your house. I was nervous when, in the beginning, when she told me, "Would you speak?" I said, "Fine, yeah, I will speak." It's been 20 years I'm giving shiurim. I'm not scared. And then I said, "But you know, my crowd is usually not calling people." So then I seen our teacher of Beis Yaakov, and I said, "Oh gosh, am I in trouble?" Hopefully not. But honestly, I'm not going to renew and tell you any secrets, something you don't know. I believe we know it. What we need is some time to get together and just get the inspiration. Since we are approaching the beautiful occasion of Hanukkah, and it's, you know, before Pesach, we were getting all ready, and I feel, oh my gosh, I love Pesach. It's so much fun. I love Pesach. And Rosh Hashanah has its beauty, and Sukkot has its beauty, and Hanukkah comes, and I really love Hanukkah, and I just realized I love all the Chagim, because really, from each and every one of them, we can all regain. That's why we're celebrating it. Judaism is not only about commemorizing and remembering because something happened. It's not only history. It's just because we really have what to gain from this day that we are going, B'ezrat Hashem, very soon to be under the illumination of these days. As we all know, Hanukkah and Purim are the two Yamim Tovim that are from Rabbanan. They're Rabbanan and they're not written in the Torah. And they will exist forever, even after the coming of Mashiach. Hanukkah and Purim will be forever. There was a book, I'm saying there was and not there is, because I think it does not exist anymore, that the Gemara mentioned a lot, and it's called Megillas Ta'anit. Megillas Ta'anit, it's not Masechas Ta'anit, it's not part of the Gemara. And Megillas Ta'anit mentioned is a book that says many dates during the year in which we're not supposed to fast because of things that happened to Am Yisrael, to people, to Jewish people during in the history. And Nisim happened, people were in trouble, they were saved. And in order to thank Hashem, we should not fast in these days. So in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, in the Gemara says that even though Megillah Ta'anit Batela, it's canceled, it's not there, we don't follow all these dates, still Hanukkah and Purim that are mentioned there forever are going to be days that we are not allowed to fast in them. And in Masechet Shabbat, welcome to my Sephardic accent, I forget to say Masechet Shabbos. You're going to get used to it. In Masechet Shabbat, Tanu Rabbanan, Chachamim, the Gemara explained, Mi katav Megillat Ta'anit? Who wrote Megillat Ta'anit? Who wrote it? Amru Hananiah ben Chizkiah v'siyato. Hananiah ben Chizkiah and his group, it was in the time of the Tanaim, before the Mishnah, Shehayu mechavavin et ha-tzarot. Because they liked the tzarot, the trouble. Sound a little bit interesting. And Rashi explained there, Mechavevin et ha-tzarot, they like the troubles, the difficulty, Shenigalin me'en, because they were saved from them, Vehanes chaviv aleim, they loved, obviously, the nes, the salvation, Le'asiyo le'shavcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they can remember and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vechotvim yemei ha-nes, and they were ready to do nes, la'asot am yom tov, and not to fast in these days. HaMaharsha explained, and this Rashi, something even more deeper, Rav Pinkus brings it, and he says, what does that mean, mechavevin et ha-tzarot? Not the pshat of Rashi because they were saved from the tzarot and then they were able to thank Hashem and praise Hashem. Mechavevin et ha-tzarot atzman. They really loved, they liked, they knew how to appreciate even the time of the difficulty when there was a tzara before they got a salvation. Seems very hard. How come can we like the trouble and why should we like the trouble? How come they really like the trouble? Maharsha knows what he's saying. And Rav Pinkus come and explain a very basic point that we're going to say in Hanukkah. It says, after Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, right? Everything was ready. The last object, if I'm not mistaken, that was brought into the Beis HaMikdash was the Aaron. So the Kohanim brought it to the Aaron, and Melachim, it says Melachim Aleph, who teach Navi, I hope I'm saying it that way. As soon as the Kohanim left, Anan Hashem, the cloud of Hashem, the Shekhinah came, and everybody saw fog, and then Shlomo HaMelech says, Az Amar Shlomo, Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'arfel. He saw the Rashi extender, Shlomo says, oh, I see, Rosh Baruch Hu accepted a what we did, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Shechina came, because Hashem said He will rest upon us in Arafel, in fog, always in fog. Also in Ma'amad al-Sinai, in Har Sinai, which was the closest way that the world could have seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was in Har Sinai. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with cloud, fire, a lot of fog, smoke. Well, not clear. It can't be clear. And after Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to learn, to talk to Hashem, and the Chumash says, and the Torah says, Moshe nigash el harafel. Moshe came close to the fog so he can talk to Hashem. So we see that there is anywhere in the Torah, when we see Hashem coming close, it was always through fog. Something not clear. Cover and darkness, not with a lot of light. The simple basic reason Rav Pinchas explained, I'm sure everybody's familiar who was Rav Pinchas. Me, personally, I'm very, very connected to the Hashkafa and the way he sees things. And the first half of this show is basically a Sicha of Rav Pinchas. So he said that we see here two rules, two ways rule. Actually, it's one rule in two ways. Number one, it can never be an appearance of Shekhinah in this world without fog, without darkness. And also, the second part of it, the other side of it, is wherever you see darkness, wherever it's foggy and it's not clear and there is trouble and sorrows, because Hashem is there and Hashem is so close, so He has to be covered. Number one, the basic reason is simply because Hashem, the world, is not capable of accepting the presence of Hashem. We just won't exist. The world won't exist. If the sun, we cannot even look at the sun. If we will have direct contact with the sun, the world will burn. So obviously, Hashem, we have to have something that will interfere, and it has to be not clear. This world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, cannot come close with no separation. And therefore, he put the mechitza, which is the fog, the cloud, the covering, the tzaros, the trouble, because wherever we see darkness and tzaros, it's because Hashem is very close. Normally, people look at mechitza, the concept mechitza, as something that's separate, right? Because it separates the man from the woman in shul. They put mechitza, they want to separate. In reality, Rav Pinchas explained that the real point of view, how to see a mechitza, is not as something that separates. It's actually as something that can cause and make the closeness possible. Because without a mechitza, women won't be able to go to the shul. So because we have mechitza, we can be there, we can be close. Mechitza is really to make it happen. Also, when we have fog, darkness, choshech, tzarot, troubles, it's because Hashem is there, and the tzarot, the trouble, or the mechitza that really can make us be so close to Hashem. Here we can understand how come Rabbi Hananiah, the one who wrote Megillah Tanit, how can he like Tzarot? How can he like the trouble, the difficulty, the darkness? Because they were able to feel so much the closeness of Hashem that they loved it. And because they were able to reach that level, to feel the closeness in Hashem in the darkness, always they deserved to be saved from the Tzarot, so they had what to thank Hashem. So it's a chain. When we are able to see Hashem in the darkness, we Be'ezat Hashem going to deserve to be saved from the darkness, from the difficulty, and then we have what to thank Hashem. Basically, this is one of the very basic points of the essence of Hanukkah. We all know, and Chumash Bereshit, when before the creation of the world, how the Torah describes how the world was, there is the pasuk v'choshech al penei tehom. There was darkness. Part of the description of the world was before Hashem created was with choshech, with darkness. And the midrash explained choshech zo malchut yavan. We're not going to go deeper. We all know that choshech malchut yavan is represented by darkness. Mishum shechshicha enayim shel yisrael v'gzeroteha. The Greek culture brought darkness to the world because they really, when they wanted to destroy, was not us physically, but spiritually, and that was the worst. Dangerous darkness, and when there is darkness, there is also a lot of light, but it's hidden. We can see it because it has to be, as we said, to a mechitza. In order to remember that nes that we received from that darkness of the time of the darkness of Yavan, of Greek, we have to do the nes, the ner Hanukkah, the candle of Hanukkah. It's the only mitzvah thing that the Mishnah talks about and says, Chaviva Me'od. It's a very appreciated, it's loved. The mitzvah, the Ner Chanukah is something loved. And it's also the only case, the only time in which we are commanded to light a candle and we are not allowed to use its light, which is against the natural purpose of it. Hashem created light in order to illuminate. Here we have to light a candle and we cannot use it. So the purpose here is different. It's not the regular purpose of light. Normally in the Rosh Shabbat, it has to be where we eat. It has to help us to have more light. Ner Hanukkah is not. We're not allowed to use it because the purpose is different. We have to see something else here. Rav Pinkus explained about that because the darkness in Hanukkah was so intense, so deep, the light that was hidden inside this darkness was so bright and so special and so big and so good that it has to be so dark so it could exist. And you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he created the light, the first time, what does it say after Hashem created it? Vayar Hashem et ha'or ki tov. And then he changed it. And Rashi explained, "Gnazol la'tzadikim le'atid lavo." Hashem said, "You know what? This light, it's too good for now." Adam HaRishon was able to see, physically to see, his ability to see with this light. He was able to see from Mikzeh Olam ve'atzofon, from one point to the edge of the world. Everything, no limitation. The light was very big. And Hashem, no, I know generations that will come will sin. They don't deserve it. Therefore, I'm going to reserve it for tzadikim le'atid lavo, le'atid lavo we will have. However, the Midrash explained that there was a certain amount of time that this great light did illuminate the world. And how long was it? Does anybody know the Midrash? It was 36 hours. It was for 36 hours the world was illuminated by this light, and then Hashem saved it. Right? Hashem minimized it to the light that even more than what we have today, whatever. And he saved it. And Chachamim explained that in Hanukkah, we have the potential to reveal or to get connected to that special light. Obviously, that represents always spirituality, because if you see how many candles we light in Hanukkah, total candles, without counting the shamash, obviously. With the shamash, it's 44. Without the shamash, it's 36. So in the 36 Nerot of Hanukkah, we can find a connection, or we can get a little bit close to something related to that special light that illuminated the world for the first 36 hours of its creation. So definitely there is something very special that we should gain from that light of Hanukkah, and it's not the physical light because we're not allowed to use it. It's much deeper than that, much more than that. Because, as we said, there was so dark, the light was so big, and the Chashmonaim knew that. I love the sentence that Rav Pinkus said, when the Chashmonaim, when the Makkabim decided it's time to go and fight, it's time to go, and they knew that Hashem will help them, it was not even though in spite there is darkness. It's because of the darkness they went and they fought. Because they said such darkness, it's because there is so much light hidden there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close, and he's going to help us, and we're going to change everything, and Bezat Hashem, we're going to save the Jewish nation, the Jewish Torah, and it's really what happened. They knew that it was the time when it's very, very dark, it's time to find the very, very, very special and strong light, and the Shekhinah of Hashem is very, very close. In other time of history, it didn't exist. There was no other time that it described as Choshech, as darkness, at the time of Yavan. And it's because it was so dark, the light was, as we said, was so big. Our Aaron Kochler explained, I think I read it about Rosh Hashanah, but about Elul, he explained that, but it's really related. It has to do with all the Yamim Tovim. He said, what I said in the beginning, when we celebrate the Yamim Tovim, we don't just commemorate what happened, we're supposed to be connected to the essence of what this Chag, this Yom Tov is, and gain from it, we should get from it something. Because of Aaron Kotler explained, there is special illumination, light, that we actually cannot see because we're not at that level. But there is more light than regular days during Yamim Tovim. And according to what happened on that Yom Tov. In the beginning, when it was established, that type of light will be during these days. So soon in Hanukkah, we know during these 8 days of Hanukkah, Be'ezrat Hashem, we are supposed and we can reach higher level, and we have much more ability to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's still at every Hanukkah it comes again, that slide that the Hashmonaim were able to see because of the darkness. Time of war is a dangerous time. We all know that. It's also time that causes a lot of changes, different type of changes. For example, if we look at the financial situation of people, wealthy people doing war can lose their money, can lose their business and become poor. Sometimes it happens the opposite. A poor person that never has business, because in the war, whatever he sells happened to be something very needy, he can become all of a sudden very wealthy. Also a soldier in the army, normally to reach a higher level, he has to work very, very hard, show a lot of loyalty and dedication and a lot of, in order to get upgrade, right? But in a time of war, in one act, in 1 minute, if he shows braveness, if he shows strength, he can reach all of a sudden something that normally would take so much. Also in Hanukkah, because it represents time of milchama, of real war, and spiritual milchama, spiritual war, we can reach higher level of closeness to Hashem than what we can reach during regular days. Let's see how we can do that. Because the point is that we want to do halacha lemaaseh tachles. Okay, how do we, in our level, work on something that this Hanukkah will feel that we're growing without Hashem more than other years? Before I go into this, what I wanted to, the example that I wanted to bring, I would like to mention another point that Pinchas said that I really like. He said, "Akadosh Bnei Israel, we all say every day, Kadosh, 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 right? Malachim in Shemaim also say Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem, right? I think Ashkenaz do Kedusha, Chazara, like Sephardim every day, right? You do? Because I know Birkas Kohanim, they don't do, and we do, whatever. So I'm not sure if I say every day, and it's accurate, it's really every day. What?
I heard that in Eretz Yisrael, they do Birkas Kohanim on Shabbat
and Ashkenaz? They do, I don't know. I know here they don't do. I have no idea what they do in Israel. I never saw an Ashkenaz shul.
In
Israel they do. Oh, you see, I didn't know the reason. It's a fact, and me, I respect that. No, I never checked it out. So I wanted to make sure they do Chazar. I think they do Chazar, obviously, whatever. So we say Kadosh, Kadosh, and in Chazar we say, in the Malachim ask, Ayeh Mekom Kevodo, where is the place of its honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem? And what is the answer? Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. We say, you know, the place of Hashem, it's in the earth, it's here, it's not there. What does that mean? Obviously Hashem is there supposedly even more and is everywhere. But the place where we can reach the connection, the closeness to Hashem is only here. When we go there, when we get there, it's whatever level we reach, there where we're going to stay. There is no changes. How much we can reach closeness to Hashem is only here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world in a very interesting way. Many, many interesting ways. One of them is he made it round. And the idea of round, we see it in different ways. One of them is, you know, in a circle, when farther you go, actually you're also coming closer. Right? Because in the end, you're going to come to the same point. So our Pinchas says, before the other generation were higher than us. Obviously, generations are coming down and down. We leave the Yerida Sadoros. We don't have the greatness that people had many generations ago. There are many changes. But at the same time, farther we go from the greatness from the beginning, we also come very close to the end, the revealing of Hashem, when Mashiach will come. And our generation, being the end, being the last time before Mashiach, we can reach the closeness to Hashem easier than those people in the generation before, even though they were in higher level than us. We really, in our today, in our daily life, because it's time of war, it's time of milhama, as someone just said in the beginning of when we just entered, there's so many things that are happening, so many hard things, so many difficulties, so many sorrows, so much darkness. And it's so hard because it's the end, and it's because we really, really can get closer to Hashem easier than what people would have done many generations ago. We are toward the end. So accept, appreciating the fact that we live in that generation, the Mashiach, that it's Be'ezrat Hashem should be very soon. And coming Hanukkah, definitely we should see how we can go, what can we do, a little bit more this Hanukkah, so Be'ezrat Hashem we will feel the closeness to Hashem even higher, and we will benefit from that and see the chesed and the chasadim and the sweetness that will come together with that. So the point I wanted to mention, because I think there are many, I wanted to focus on the point. You know, when we light the candle, we say Al Anisim Ve'Al HaPurkan, and we know, we recognize that HaNeros Halalu Kodeshem Ve'Lanu Reshus Leshtamesh Bahem. Still, Ela, there is one thing we have to do while doing that. Then, while lighting the candle, what do we have to do? Liros, Lirotam or Lirosam. I don't know if that's Dagesh or not. I'm sorry. Liros, how do you say? Lirotam Bilvad. Kedeh, the purpose is lehodot lishmecha, so we can thank you and praise you, and not only about the past, bayamim ahem, what the nisim you did, also bazman hazeh. So the idea of Hanukkah, one of the ideas of Hanukkah, that we look at the candles, we cannot use their light, but we have to reflect and look to think, oh my gosh, we have to thank Hashem. The basic thing is thanking Hashem about the past and about the present. All the nisim he had done, bayamim ahem, and also bazman hazeh. So few words about thanking, and how can we increase a little bit our thinking, Be'ezrat Hashem, hopefully at the end of this year, and maybe a lot of you are doing it already, I don't know, I'm working on it. So, we all called Yehudim, named after Yehuda. We could have been called many after any of the other Shvatim, but one of the reasons Chachamim says it's because Leah called Yehuda when he was the fourth child, and she felt, oh my gosh, I really have to thank Hashem. Three sons, every mother would have had, she thought, to Yaakov Avinu, he's supposed to have 12, he had four, so everybody would have three. Now I'm having the fourth one, I'm for sure having one more than someone, so it's an extra thing, I want to thank Hashem. So after that, we were called Yehudim, because one of the very basic part of the essence of a Jew, that he knows to thank. A person who does not know to thank, he has a problem with being a Jew. We are Yehudim. We have to lehodot, to thank Hashem. Before going into the spiritual aspect and the Torah and the ruchnius of thanking Hashem, I would like to mention the physical aspect of thanking. I just love it because I'm working on it, and soon you're going to see why. When a person thinks, what happens to our thought? We concentrate and positive. Two things can be the result of that. Number one, naturally by thinking positive, you omit negative. So if you had any negative thought, at that moment it has to go. More you will train your brain to think, he will think more positive, you will see that less negative. This is already the first benefit that it's worth it to work on trying to think much more than what we do. You're going to see soon why. Also, when we think, we get as a chutz to deserve thing, to get chesed from Hashem even if we don't deserve it. And we're going to see the source of it in a minute. There is a nice version, I say, or explanation, or point of view of the famous say that Chachamim says, "Baderech she'adam rotzeh lilech ba'molechim oto." We know that when a person wants to do something good, Hashem is going to have siyata lishmaya, will do it. Normally, whatever you want, you will achieve. If that's what you really want, you will get. So I don't remember the name of who I heard it. That how does it? What does it have to do with thinking? "Baderech she'adam rotzeh lilech ba'molechim oto." Who? Mi molich oto? Who is molichim? Molichim is being taken by someone. Someone is making him lalechet, making him molich, right? It's not him molich. Someone who. So by the Just the fact that he wants to, he rotze laleches, he wants to do it, he creates that energy, he creates malachim in shamayim because of the goodwill, he just wants to do good, and this malachim will help him and they will take him to reach that good. That's something positive he wants. So when we think, when we focus on thinking, on hoda'an, and we look for what to think, we constantly creating this positive malachim. And then they will help us there, which means Hashem will give us what to think for. We will get there to thank Hashem for many, many more. You know, it's easy to say it. Oh yeah, to thank Hashem, we have to. But not everybody all day long, every day, thank Hashem. And it's really not easy. And not because it's not easy to think about things that are hard. Also about things that are normal and common, we forget. And besides that, when we talk about thinking, and we want Hashem to give us all the things that we want so we can thank Him, we know that Hashem is our Father and is the King, which means He loves us and He's able to do everything He wants because He's the King. So He can give us everything He really wants, because if He's the Father and He loves us, why doesn't He give us everything always? And one of the reasons, unfortunately, I forgot the source, is that because Hashem knows that human being, by nature, the human nature is, no matter what we get, even if it's something that we really, really wanted, and we longed for it, and we davened for it, and we waited for it, after a certain amount of time, and how much is the amount of time, it depends on the level of the person. To some people, it might take even long, Baruch Hashem, and it's a good sign. To some, even less. But after a certain amount of time, you get used to it, and you start to get it for granted. We see it in many examples. I know a story of a guy, an Avrech from Eretz Israel, that it really happened to him, and he said the story personally to someone that told me the story directly. So I did, and I'm just going to mention the fact, and I believe it's true. So this guy was an Avrech, few kids at home, obviously lives very, very tight budget because he chose to. He wanted to. Baruch Hashem, he's learning Torah, his wife is happy, everybody's happy. But it was very tight. And he was able to make 3,000 shekels a month. But it was not enough. And he was thinking, Hashem, if I could only have 500 shekels more, it would be so much easier. And we're talking about super basic needs, nothing more than that. And this 500 shekel didn't come. There was no way it would come. He was learning, his wife, whatever. After a while, he made a shela to a rav, and the rav told him, it's time for you to go. He had an opportunity to work in business. He's still alive. Baruch Hashem, he's a young man. He's very, very smart. Very smart man. And he had an opportunity to work in business, selling, whatever. Things that he can do good, because he has this thing with our learning. Fine, he goes, he started to work in a company, obviously didn't stop learning, and he started to make money, and things became more easier. Now, in his job, because he did so well and so fast, they offered him, there is a deal, listen, we see you're good in selling and convincing people to buy our product, so we have for the best sellers, the sell people, we have special deal. If you reach certain amount of sell every month, you don't have to sell anymore, you're gonna get 5,000 shekel bonus, kavua, fixed, right? Every month. Don't keep selling more than that, just aim certain amount. And we see you're close to there, just work on that, you're gonna get your 5,000 shekel. I said, oh my gosh, that's going to be amazing. So I know I can do it only with few hours of learning, with working. I still keep learning. Imagine I will get 5,000 shekel with no more effort, the bonus every week, and other people will continue. Once I have the clients, I don't have to work. I just have to make sure to keep that they exist. I'm going to live so much easier. It's going to be so, whatever. He reached that amount of clients. He did it easily, and Baruch Hashem, he's starting to get these 5,000 shekel. After the 5,000 shekel, he found out and he knew that if he doubled the amount of clients, the bonus is going to be 10,000 shekel. So it's worth it. He can also do a lot of mitzvahs with that. And to make it very short, he did it. And it was after the 10 was 15, and then 20, and then 30, and 40. And the guy told me, this man reached 70 1,000 shekel per month bonus besides the interest that he was earning. And he was not happy. He was not satisfied. He didn't feel like that. He was not complaining. But he still, each time, wanted more and more and more. How come? If when he was earning only 3,000, he said, if I would have only 500 shekel more per month, I'll be fine. Because it's human nature. If we don't work in it, it's normal. It makes sense that it will happen to someone that you just get used to the comfort. Even though he lacked it so much before, he got used to it and he didn't know to appreciate it. And that's horrible. And that can happen. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, we are not at that level. But in order to find where our level is, I brought that extreme example, and I'm going to bring another extreme example, which is David HaMelech. David HaMelech in Tehillim says, "Va'anochi ani ve'evyon." I'm poor, miserable poor. David HaMelech was poor? He was not poor, he was a king. And he also mentioned, "Arum yatzati mibet enemi." I came naked with nothing from my mother. I came to this world from nothing. Why is he saying that? Because David HaMelech was the other extreme of the appreciation and thanking everything he had. He thanked Hashem. He said, me, myself, really had nothing. I'm ani ve'evyon. Everything Hashem gives me, it's chesed. He always thanked Hashem for all what he had. And that's the level we should reach to thank Hashem for the basic things we have every day. We have clothes, we have car, even if it's leased and even if it's not us, and we have house even if it's rented. Some people don't even have it, and we have even simple bread. And I literally mean it that we have to thank Hashem every day, but not only say it, but really, Baruch Hashem, obviously, thank God I have it. No, really to thank Hashem. He doesn't have to give it to us. Nothing He has to give us. He owes us zero. Everything we have is 100% chesed. If we train our brain to really think about it deeper and really thank Him every day, that shows that we're really, really Jewish. Nothing we're supposed to take for granted. When a person remembers that in Berakas HaMazon we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanu Mefarnes Bechen Bechesed Uverachamim, everything He gives us it with chesed, with rachamim. He doesn't really owe us anything and we don't really deserve everything, nothing. We learn to appreciate we have children. So we train our brain to think positive. We won't see the difficulty of raising our children. Baruch Hashem, we have children. Some people don't. It's not that. We don't take it for granted. And many, the list goes on and on and on. I'm not even going to detail because Baruch Hashem, I know it's not necessary. The point of thanking Hashem for this thing, that it's the easy part and it's common sense, and I know I didn't even know anything. We all know it. Still, we still have to work on it. The other part of thinking is, actually, we should reach a level of thanking Hashem not only for this thing that makes sense, that are comfortable for us and it helps us in life. Also, for the difficulty, we should thank Hashem. Because we know that Hashem does everything for a reason. Without getting into examples, just because the time does not last, I want to bring, beside that, emunah, that everything Hashem does for a reason, beside that, we should know that because Hashem is really goodness, isn't only good, usually when He does something harsh, tough, brings any difficulty, any nisayon to us, it could be that because He wants to give us something so much more major good, so much better, we have to prepare the thing to hold the bracha that is waiting for us in Shamayim. And a lot of times, we accept from what Hashem did. Let's say things didn't go well. Something, whatever, happened and a person felt it was so hard. You know what, I accept it. Min Hashamayim, fine, I'm not going to complain. The level we should reach, it's not only that. It's to thank Hashem. Hashem, thank you, sent me the Messiah. Thank you that it's hard for me now. It's very hard, but I thank you. I know it's good. When a person is training himself to do that, he's preparing a keli that Bezat Hashem will be filled with brachos. Rav Dessler, I think, says in Michtav Me'eliyahu that when a person thanks Hashem for difficulty, what he does, he changes din to rachamim. And it takes time because Hashem tests us, and when we deserve it, we will see the result of it. So the idea is really, Bezat Hashem, to be able to thank Hashem from about the hard things, not only about the easy things. The Rav Mislonim explained that another benefit, why is it worth it for us to thank Hashem for things that does not go the way we think they should go, or we want them to go, and they think it's fair that it will go. He said, it's just me that can get me that. It's worth it for you. When you thank Hashem for whatever He does to you that does not please you, and you accept it with thanking, He also will accept things that is not pleasing that you do. So it's really another benefit why it's worth it for us.
Who says that?
Rav Mislonim. The Rebbe Mislonim, I don't remember the source. So now, before I mentioned, and this is really something, the deeper part of what I said, but derech she'adam rotzeh lelech ba'molechim oto. When a person train his brain to think positive and thank Hashem, he creates malachim that will help him to reach that positive thing. Deeper than that is what we see after we learn that we have to thank Hashem not only to accept. Again, the point is not only to accept what Hashem does that it's not comfortable. It's to thank Him for that. So, b'derech she'adam rotzeh lelech, if Adam is a person wants to go in that way, I want to thank Hashem for whatever is hard for me, ba'molichim oto, because I know in the end it's going to be good. Hashem does only for good. He will deserve to see the good that comes from the bad. A lot of people go through difficulty, but they don't see the good that comes out of it. But Hashem can do the bad Himself can turn into good. So if you want to go that way, you will deserve to see the good turning into bad, the bad turning into good, and that's really amazing. There is a book called She'arav Betoda. David HaMelech in Tehillim says, "Bo'u She'arav Betoda." You want to come to the gate of Hashem? There is many gates to reach Hashem. Many gates, and we need them all. There are so many things we want and we need from Hashem, so we try to reach Him. He said there is one key, one general key to all the gates, and it's Toda. When a person knows to thank Hashem for everything. So there's a book called She'arav Betoda, and it tells stories about people that it became very in our generation. I don't know if you heard about that. To thank Hashem, right? There's the Toda prayer, the thanking prayer. But really to thank Hashem for the difficulty. So a boy that was, an older boy, was 28. In that book, there is a story that was not finding his shidduch. He was not finding his shidduch, and he was a great boy, and it was so hard for him. It's hard, right? So one day, he met that rabbi, and the story is in the book, and the rabbi told him, listen, my advice to you, start thanking Hashem that you didn't get married yet. Thank Him. I know it's hard for you, I know all your friends are made, but you should thank Him for that. For that difficulty, thank Him. And he started to thank Hashem, and not only to say it, because when we only say it once, as I said, is we accept it. Accept it's a level of emunah, obviously, basic. But more than that, to thank Him, you have to do it a few times a day. You have to wash your brain. This is something I'm thanking Hashem for. After 2 months, he got engaged. With a shidduch that nobody believed, but every day, 3 times a day, he stopped what he was doing and thanked Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, I'm not married yet. It's hard, it's easy to say, but to say it and feel it at the same time takes time. But we can do it. Another story that was amazing in this book was about a guy that owed a lot of money, and it was very hard for him. And again, he met that rabbi that brings the story to this book. And they were talking about the situation, and the rabbi told him, start thanking Hashem that you have debt. To thank Hashem that I owe money to people and all. Yes, Hashem knows what He's doing. You have to thank Him for that. You have to believe. Fine. And he started to do it as a segula, whatever. It's segula, what do I care? Let's do that. After like a few weeks, it was so random, how the Yeshua came, it was such an obvious net that he said, it's just because I learned and I started to thank Hashem for it. For the bad things that was going to be. So he meets a guy in the street and he sees him like a fool, whatever, and he tells him, excuse me, I just want to ask you a question, you know? I am looking for someone that will learn for Ilui Neshama of a member of my family who passed away, and I have a budget of 7,000 shekel to pay per month. Can you help me find that person? I don't know, I see you just look someone that you're a learner and whatever. He got a job, whatever, he was learning anyways. 7,000 shekel a month. And this is a fact, this is a story. If someone is interested, they can find out the exact name of the author. I don't remember it. What?
Brody. Who wrote the book?
I don't know. No, the Brody has a book, Sharon Betoda, but I don't think it's that book.
The God of Gratitude.
I don't know if it's that book, but maybe.
The God of Gratitude.
I know, but is that a book that brings the stories?
All those stories.
Right? So, Ravush was Brody translating him. His motto of thanking Hashem for everything and for difficulty is very... And people see miracles, it's amazing. Rav Dessler said, he said that our brain has two parts. We all know that. We have the conscious and the subconscious. That's how we call it in the modern language. Rav Dessler calls it HaKochot HaAfelim and HaKochos HaMoarim, right? The brain, the dark one, and the light one. The light one is the conscious, and what we are aware of, and the dark one is really the subconscious, what we're not even aware of. We don't exactly know what it is. But actually, what leads our actions, what helps us and make us take decision of what we want and what we do and what we desire and what we think, is the subconscious, not the conscious. Apparently, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, I don't know who's supposed to be the expert knowing that, but our functioning is 97% under the control of the subconscious. Only 3% is under the control of the conscious, right? It makes sense to me, just not a time to expand it, and I think people believe. So this law explained that, and regarding other things, if we want to learn to really be able to thank Hashem constantly, but every day, every minute a day, and we have to start doing it as a brainwash all the time. So it's going to be part of our brain, of our subconscious, and it will lead our action and thought and desires to only good things, and that's what will happen. Because we will draw from Hashem only chesed when we only thank Hashem. And that's the essence of being a Jew, and that's the essence of Hanukkah, because on Hanukkah we should look at a candle and just think. Just remember, we can get that light that is hidden because there was so much darkness these days, during the days of Hanukkah. And that power, that strength of that darkness that can make us feel so connected to Hashem exists mostly and more during these days, during the time of looking at the candle. So I think and I found that if Bezat Hashem will be able this time to raise our level of thinking, to raise our level of appreciation about the good, the things that we take for granted, about the things that we really thank Hashem anyways because we really appreciate them, and about the things that are hard for us, Bezat Hashem, we will get a closeness to Hashem, we will feel higher and closer to Hashem, and hopefully Bezat Hashem, each and every one of us will be able to see how this is going to lead us to result, to the positive result, and the bad and difficult things will change into good things, the same as it happened in Hanukkah. May Hashem give us the Siyata Dishmaya. Comment. Anybody? Either a bad sign or a very good sign. And No. I told you, I was very simple and I wanted to be simple because I didn't know the crowd. I didn't know. I would have been more nervous. But may Hashem help us, and Bezat Hashem, thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you.